And welcome back to let's just call it the 10 o'clock hour at Roseanne House. For some of you, it's the second hour of the show. For some of you, it's the third hour of the show. And for some of you, it's the fourth hour of the show. We do come on air at 7 a.m. If we're not locally broadcast in your neighborhood starting at that time, you can find the broadcast at rosieonthehouse.com and listen to the podcast. 7 o'clock this morning, Jennifer and I were talking about some of the books we've been making our way through in our reading list. So if you'd like to hear the things we're reading and studying about, join us in that 7 o'clock hour this morning and grab it by podcast and take a listen to it. I promised we would get to the phones. We've got Dave, we've got James, and we've got Bill that all held on, that got in the last hour that we weren't able to get to. And we're going to get to all those calls in the order in which they called. But before we do, I want to just cover real quick this topic that is on our list to cover in the 10 o'clock hour. And it's this trend that we came across, and we kind of have our pulse on several publications and key people, not to mention about 400, we're associates with about 400 best of remodeling contractors located throughout the country. That's kind of a unique component of Rosie on the House. If you've got a relative in some part of the country and you want Rosie on the House level service for them, let us know where they are, and I can refer someone in that neighborhood. We get calls on a regular basis from people in all corners of the country and say, hey, my mom needs to remodel her house, on Amelia Island in Florida. Well, here's who I want you to call. You know, tell them Rosie sent you. And they call one of my 400 contractor buddies that we partner with. We're actually going to go spend a week with them in Kansas City. When's that, the third week of October we're going?
Believe
yeah.
so.
Yeah.
After a little stint at your home grounds, Louisiana.
Yeah, we're going to go drag ourselves through Louisiana and watch a LSU Ole Miss home game and
eat ourselves silly
and then go up to Kansas City and eat some barbecue and visit with our contractor friends. But anyway, that's one of the ways we kind of keep track of not only what the trends are that are going on throughout the country, but also what the average costs are for certain projects. When people challenge me a lot of times when I throw numbers out, they're telling me, well, I got a quote for half that much, or I got a quote for three quarters that much, or the best quote I can get is for twice that much. My numbers generally come not only from what we're doing here in town, but they're averaged with what's going on from around the country. So I feel like my data is pretty strong. But one of the trends that we started tracking was someone wrote an article about our kitchens getting ready to close back up. We built the closed kitchens back in the 50s and the 60s. Ever since the mid-70s, we've been tearing that wall down between the kitchen and the family room, ripping out the soffits, raising the ceiling, putting an island in where that wall once was, and opening the kitchen up to the living room. Now they're saying a trend is to close the kitchen back up.
I guess the key word being there is they who, because I posted our article on Facebook, which is one of the ways you can get our weekly article.
Yeah, and you get a lot of feedback from that.
I did. I don't care about trends. I like the open kitchen family room. I hope it's not a trend because it stinks. I agree with her, not me. Why? Why would we want to close in such an important part of our home? So the most objective one was I would like to know the pros and cons. So I guess that's your job today. What are the pros and cons?
Well, that's what we're going to cover in the article. But let's get to some of these callers that have been holding on so patient. And we'll come back to the pros and cons of closing the kitchen back up. One of the pros, quite selfishly, is you're going to have to pay me, the remodeling contractor, come back in and do it. And we probably opened that kitchen back up 20 years ago, and we were paid for that, too. So anyway, that's a selfish pro, right?
Yeah, that's pretty one-sided.
That's pretty one-sided. Let's get to the phone. Dave's been holding the longest. Let's bring Dave into the conversation. We'll follow that with James and with Bill. Let's jump through a few calls here. Good morning, Dave.
Yeah, how you doing?
Very well.
I have a stucco exterior wall on my house, and I'm trying to hang something heavy, and so I'm trying to find the stud. Do you know a good way of doing that?
What's the age of your home?
It's brand new.
Okay. And are you mounting this somewhere close to an outside corner of the wall?
Yes.
Okay. Can you get a hold of your contractor when you say fairly new?
Yeah, I think I could.
Okay. Well, many times, do we know if the house is a 2x4 or a 2x6?
Yeah, it's a 2x4, and there's a house being built across the street exactly like mine that I can look at, too.
Oh, good, good. Now, are they, when they get to finish framing,
mm-hmm.
sometimes they're going to cover the outside corners of those houses with plywood or chipboard.
Okay.
And if you're hanging something close to those corners, and if it weighs under 100 pounds, you'll be able to get a good enough anchor into that shear paneling, and it'll anchor pretty well. A good stud finder can find it for you, electronic stud finder.
That chicken wire stuff?
Uh-huh. And what you can do is you can also, if that framing crew is building the house across the street, you can grab one of those guys, and they'll tape it for you. They'll go from the outside corner to the closest window, and they'll be able to measure one way or the other, 16 or 24 inches on center. And then what I would do is I'd take a cordless drill, and I'd put a 8-penny finish nail in that drill, and then just drill through the stucco and until you hit resistance. And you may get close to the stud, like within 2 or 3 inches, and then you just drill holes horizontally until you hit resistance. Then what I try and do is I keep going, and I find the other end of the stud, and then that way I can center the stud, and then those little bitty holes can just get repaired with some custom patch stucco repair or a little elastomeric caulk or paint.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot.
What are you trying to hang?
My wife wants me to hang like kind of like a little flower pot. You know, flower pots kind of hang in this little thing.
Okay.
I don't know. I can't explain it very well. I just know I'm supposed to do it.
All right, Dave.
We get a lot of those kind of calls.
All right, Dave. Yeah. Just go do it. You're doing a great job.
Thanks.
All right. Thanks a million. From there, let's go to James calling from Phoenix, and after that, we'll go to Bill. Good morning, James.
Hey, Rosie, thanks for taking my call.
You betcha, man. How can I help you?
Hey, I bought a house about a year and a half ago. It was built in the 1950s, and they put an addition onto the carport, and they didn't raise the slab. So
okay.
I'm getting some flooding when we get the monsoons into that room that was added onto the carport.
Oh,
and I'm trying to
man.
Figure out how to stop the flooding from occurring in the future without having to raise the whole slab and tear the whole room and start scratching.
Yeah, okay, right. So I'm guessing, because of this, the room probably was not permitted. It was probably put on without a building permit.
Gotcha.
Okay. And if I were fighting this problem as you are, the first thing I would try and do is solve it with grading and drainage in and around the house, rain gutters, downspouts, rooting everything away as best as possible. Is that an option? Can we deal with it just by some landscaping?
You know, I tried to do it, and I dug out the carports on the side of the house, and there were oleanders along the whole side of the house. I tore those out, and it actually got worse, so I dug a trench, and I was thinking about putting in like a French drain.
Yes.
That'll drain down to the main
yes.
street. But when we get the monsoon water that comes in, I mean, our house is maybe a foot above the street grade.
Uh-huh.
So I have very little slope to go down to drain the water out to the street. And our street actually floods a little bit too. So,
oh, man.
Yeah, we're kind of in a predicament here where I almost need to start from scratch. But I'm hoping you have a better solution.
Well, the other thing we can do, it's what I've done actually to our home that we bought down in Tucson. The laundry room was detached from the house underneath the carport. And because of the grading and drainage in that lot, that little laundry room took a lot of flooding. So what we did is we went in there and we shored up the roof and cut all the studs off on the bottom of the walls. So essentially, the laundry room was hanging from the roof rafters with nothing supporting it. And then what we did is we went in there with 8/8 16 concrete block and drilled into the slab, epoxied rebar, grouted it solid, cut a new sole plate, and then dropped that laundry room back down on top of that CMU block. Then we went to the outside of the room, and we cutted it with waterproof foundation coating, and the problem was solved forever.
But it
awesome.
Wasn't.
So that's certainly one way you could tackle it. As a matter of fact, if you want to go on our website, rosieonthehouse.com, and look at under projects, you'll see how we did when we enclose a carport into a garage. We did this for a school teacher in Scottsdale. You actually have to do exactly the same thing. You have to lay the concrete block first, then you lay the wall on top of that. You actually see in that article on our website exactly how we did it step by step. So that might be the first place for you to go take a look.
Okay, I will. I appreciate that, man.
Okay, man. Let's stay dry. The biggest trick for you is going to be shoring everything up as you cut all the structural support studs out. It's like cutting the feet out from underneath a person. You have to hang them on a pair of crutches first.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
That sounds doable.
Okay, man. Keep me posted. Appreciate it. Okay, we've got Bill and another caller on hold. Did you have something, babe? I saw you raising your hand. No, okay. So we'll get to the rest of the calls here, but we're going to have to go on a short break, and I do want to continue talking about the pros and cons of closing in your kitchen. And I'll tell you, one of the things that are driving this trend is people like you and me, the empty nesters, that now the function of the kitchen becomes more of the kitchen rather than gathering room for all the youth groups from church showing up, and the entertaining becomes a notch more formal, and the empty nesters want to isolate the cooking mess from the cooking service. So they're coming back to closing the kitchens in so the dishes can stay there uncleaned while the guests are being entertained. So empty nesters are one of the driving forces of this trend. But it doesn't seem to be receiving much support from the Rosie on the House listeners, as shown by the feedback on Facebook. When we get back, I'll take Bill's call, and there's an open line for you if you want to jump on board. 1-888-767-4348.